How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
The mandala is a teaching and meditation tool so that we can focus on evoking in ourselves the Buddha nature that we Buddhists believe you have inside you. One can use the mandala as an aid to meditation, helping you through the process of eliminating emotions that are unhelpful to you. The Tibetans believe that anyone who watches the building and the dissolution of a mandala actually accumulates merit and can begin to evoke that Buddha nature and being the most compassionate we can be.
That's Karen Humphrey-Salek. She's a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner, featured on PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly recently, talking about a practice among Tibetan Buddhist monks. And during the course of that interview, they were showing video of people milling in and around these monks, building this intricate structure of sand, colored sand, called the mandala. And not in the, only in the course of their meditation, but actually in their observation of the building and dissolution of it, getting some kind of merit. Joining us to talk about the Tibetan Buddhist mandala, Gretchen Pasentino. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California, and a regular guest. Gretchen, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much, Todd. And this is a very interesting subject because, as we see in so many religions, pictures, drawings, colors, shapes, all have an important part in helping us to understand what we believe and to strengthen or encourage our faith. What's truly astounding about Christianity is that we don't just have a picture of God or a drawing that symbolizes our spiritual life. We have God manifest in the flesh in Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then jumping down a few verses to verse 12, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have God manifest in the flesh, telling us who God is like. You remember Philip the Apostle said to Jesus, you know, show us the Father and then we can believe. And Jesus said, have you been with me so long and you haven't realized? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In various religions, there are various symbols and colors and shapes that remind people of their faith. In Christianity, we have Jesus Christ himself, who was truly man and truly God, who came to die for our sins, and he redeems us from our sinfulness. He's the one who gives us eternal life. As you were talking about your mail just before this, about the question about election, and are we going to be less fervent in our evangelism if we don't believe that preaching the gospel is going to rescue people from damnation and produce salvation in them? Salvation comes from Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from us or from our preaching, although God can use us and our preaching. In Tibetan Buddhism, the mandala is a picture of the pantheism, or the idea that God is everything and everything is God, and it tries to give them some sort of an idea of that self-saving, that benefit that you receive by the works that you do. In Christianity, we have the God who became man and who died for our sins. He is the one who reconciles us to God. It's not our own efforts or our own works.
Okay, so before we get to the whole framework that the mandala is built around, what I watched in this PBS piece was people observing the building of this mandala. They were watching it very carefully, and it was said that just observing this gives people some kind of merit. I wonder, you know, a lot of Christians are very fascinated with things Eastern, very fascinated with this. They say, let's go watch the monks do the mandala. Can't hurt. What would you say?
Well, there's nothing wrong with pictures or colors or shapes. in the history of Christianity. We've had, pictures of God's presence, for example, in the history of Judaism. The Passover feast is full of symbols that remind us of God's saving power in taking us out of our bondage to sin and into the freedom of everlasting life. So it's not that pictures in and of themselves or symbols or colors are bad. It's what are they trying to explain? In Buddhism, all is one. Everything is part of the same reality. In fact, there is no such thing as sin in Buddhism that you need to be saved from. There is no such thing as earning your salvation or being given your salvation. In Buddhism, you simply need to realize that you are one with the all divine. In Christianity, though, we understand that this sense of guilt that we have, the understanding that we know that we've hurt someone, that we've broken our relationship with God, it's not solved by denying its existence. It's solved on the cross. And in the cross, we have that redemption because God has provided it, not because we just realize that we're divine.
When we come back, we'll talk more with Gretchen Pasantino about the Tibetan Buddhist mandala. We'll find out what exactly it is, why they're looking for the Buddha within. Stay tuned.
After more than 20 years, we thought we'd bring you some fresh new ideas for Raging Rivers Water Park. Try this. Raging Rivers, home of the awesome wave pool. Not bad. Raging Rivers does have an awesome wave pool. But what about the endless river, body flume, swamp pool, treehouse harbor, itty-bitty surf city, and more? How about Raging Rivers? It's closer than you think. Well, it is just a short scenic drive from anywhere in the Metro St. Louis area. What else? Raging Rivers, affordable fun in the sun. Raging Rivers, the family fun destination. Raging Rivers, a great place for teens. Raging Rivers, open daily on the Great River Road in Grafton, Illinois. You know, these are all wonderful, but they just don't capture the essence of Raging Rivers. The thrills, the relaxation, the absolute ultimate water park experience. Guess there's only one way to say it. Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot. For one after 3 p.m. every day with coupons on Bunny Bread Buns and select Bunny Bread products.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Gretchen Pasantino is our guest. We're talking about the Tibetan Buddhist mandala. Of course, the Dalai Lama. For Tibetan Buddhists, the reincarnation of the Buddha is in the United States for a couple weeks. Gretchen, let's talk about what this thing is. I mean, it looks like I'm not going to call it a sand castle, but it looks like a very intricate, rather beautiful design created out of colored sand by these monks. What are they doing?
Yes, actually, mandalas can be made out of a variety of different materials. They could be made out of sand. They could be painted on wood. They could be made out of stone. Some are even drawn on canvases or drawn on walls and actually can cover the whole wall of a room. But the purpose behind the mandala, which is always circular in its basic form, is to stand for the unity of all existence, the divinity of all existence. The center of every mandala represents the divine Buddha, or the union between the immaterial and the material, the divine and the created. Although in Buddhism, there really is not any real creation, and there really is no distinction between the divine and the created. In fact, in Buddhism, everything is of one substance or one quality, and that is divinity. Buddhism is a religion in the sense that it is a collection of practices that people perform in order to fulfill their divine potential. But it's not a religion in the sense that the Buddha, or the core of divinity, is all of existence in and of itself, so it's not really personal. Buddhists don't pray to a god or gods. Buddhists don't say that God created me and created the world. For Buddhists, everything is divine and everything is one. And the goal in Buddhism is to realize that divinity and that oneness, to realize that we are neither sinners nor saints, we are merely part of the divine. These mandalas, whether they're made out of sand or stone or painted on a wall or in any other way, are meant to exemplify that all-pervasive divinity. In Christianity, on the other hand, we say that God is the only eternal one, the one who exists eternally as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he is the only all-powerful one and the only true creator. He created everything, the world and everything in it, including us as humans, out of nothing, not out of himself. We are not divine. We are the product of God's creative power. And we are designed with the potential to be united with God in relationship, in personal relationship, not in impersonal, some sort of a quasi-substance that pervades everything. The beauty of Christianity is that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that God loves us and created us individually and personally to have perfect fulfillment in him. We are not God, but we are loved by God and saved by him through Jesus Christ.
What is this idea of the Buddha within? Maybe I'm not as familiar with Buddhism as I thought I was, but I haven't often heard Buddhists talk about a Buddha within. It sounds like kind of a Western notion being attached here.
A lot of Eastern religions seem to be compatible with Western thought because since they have their root in pantheism, everything is God and God is everything, there is no such thing as contradictories or this is this and not that. In fact, everything is the same. So a Buddhist or somebody from another of the Eastern religions could say, yes, you can have Christianity within our religion. But by that, they don't mean the kind of Christianity that is exclusive, that says that salvation is only in Jesus Christ, and that God is the creator of all things and is not those things themselves. But that kind of Eastern religion, including Buddhism, would say you can take the terminology of Christianity as long as you understand that terminology to mean the Buddha within you is also the Buddha without you, and in fact, everything is Buddha. Buddha is everything, and everything is Buddha. I have a sister who is part of an Eastern religion, a Hindu religion, and she works for this organization and travels all over the world spreading the news of this religion. And she has no problem with my Christianity, except that I tell her that she's wrong. And she says, nothing's wrong. Everything's right. Everything's divine. You're divine and I'm divine. I said, then how can you tell me that I'm wrong when I say that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation? If nothing's wrong, if everything's divine, then how can you say that I'm wrong? And she says, well, you're just not enlightened. Well, that kind of enlightenment is not really enlightenment at all. It is not true that everything is God and God is everything. It is true that God created everything and created us in his image to be perfectly fulfilled in perfect relationship with him through Jesus Christ. That is the truth of the gospel. The truth of Buddhism is not true at all. It's God is everything and everything is God and everybody is just alike. Everybody believes and exists the same way. All is divine. We're all divine. That's Buddhism. That's certainly not Christianity.
They talk about the construction of the mandala and then the dissolution of the mandala, and they described it in the news piece as they will spend sometimes weeks, the monks, constructing this very intricate, beautiful sculpture of sand. It is minute in its detail. And then, having finished it, it was described as, without even thinking about it, without a single emotion, they will simply put their hands in the middle of it and mess it up to demonstrate how transient everything is. What is that truth there? I mean, it seems to fly in the face of the Christian teaching of a God who would redeem creation rather than simply sweep it away with a wave of his hand.
Yes. In Buddhism, there's this strange juxtaposition of there is no sin, therefore there's no need for salvation. In fact, we are all divine and need to merely recognize and experience our own divinity. And yet, Buddhists will spend hours, months, years, their whole lives practicing different disciplines that will help them to experience this divinity. And the more they practice these disciplines, whether it's making or unmaking a mandala or any other sort of Buddhist practice, sounds to me like works to achieve a certain goal. Yet if we're all divine, we're all God, we just have to realize that we're God, then why do we have to do anything? Now, in Christianity, we do things not in order to be saved, but because we have been saved in Jesus Christ.
About 30 seconds, Gretchen.
We're restored to our relationship with God, not through our own works, but the works of Jesus Christ in obedience to his Father, empowered by the Spirit. The beauty of Christianity is that we can know that we are saved, we can know that we have eternal life, not because of what we do, but because of what God has done.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California, and a regular guest. You can find out more about Answers in Action at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Gretchen, thank you very much.
Thank you, and the Lord's blessings to you.
And to you. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with David Aikman, former Beijing bureau chief for Time magazine, about the crackdown on Christians in China, an ongoing story. Folks, Issues Etc.'s Book of the Month for July is a Bible study written by a regular guest. You know him, Dr. Ken Sherb. It's called The Christian's Mission. It shows how the Christian's mission is not something you go out and find for yourself, but is it, in fact, rooted in God's gifts of grace, the Word and the sacraments. It is entirely recovered and discovered in the divine service on Sunday morning, and it is realized in your individual vocation, your mission, founded in the Word and sacraments, located on Sunday morning for you in those same Word and sacraments, and lived in your vocation. It's called The Christian's Mission by Dr. Ken Sherb. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Christian's Mission. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can look within to find the Buddha. I can tell you what you're going to find. You'll find nothing but lies and deceit within. You will find, as St. Paul says, nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. You'll find sin. You'll find despair. Scripture teaches us not to look within, not to try and find the someone, whoever it may be, in there, but to find outside ourselves, in the objective truth of God's Word, God's salvation from the outside in, his rescue of us, not found by looking within, but found by hearing Christ's voice that speaks a word of forgiveness from his cross, finding outside yourself everything Christ did for you in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.